From a new offensive coordinator to all the possibilities at quarterback for the Browns this offseason, Daryl Ryder and Annie Baskin talk about it all at their podcast. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Hear the conversations around one of the most important off seasons in years. Subscribe to the podcast now at 923thefan.com, on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solutions. Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan, and let's go out and talk to one half of the Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast. It is Daryl Ryder, and he's brought to you by Shiving Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, happy Championship Tuesday to you.
Right back at you. OH.
I know. Here we are. Feels like a good place to be. In a what a wonderful time to talk Browns, right? This is just, we get to just...
You mean what a wonderful time to talk about anything but the Browns?
Yeah, well, you know, we're sort of somewhere in between that. We have to find the middle ground there.
I made the morning boys a little grumpy with me this morning when I was like, "Yeah, I think the Browns need to start earning some of the love that the Guardians and Cavs have to work so hard to get."
Yeah, it feels like they should. I don't know why they get upset with you there. It's just love that we just hand to them, and for not a whole lot back.
It's like going to a bad restaurant every year, and the food is terrible, but you keep going back over and over and over again.
Expecting it to be a five-star Michelin restaurant.
Right.
But instead, there's critters running across the floor.
Exactly. Like most normal sane people would be like, yeah, I'm not going back there ever again. I'm going to hop on my keyboard and write a real nasty review, too, while I'm at it.
Not us. Not us, Daryl. We just keep coming back.
Yep.
That's all it comes to.
Poor people.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
I feel for them. I really do. No sarcasm there. I really do feel for Browns fans. I do.
Well, Daryl, we can start with the in-between before we go fully over to the Browns. With Ohio State winning the national championship, we'll play the in-between game. Do you see any Buckeyes realistically that would have a chance to come to Cleveland, or the ones that you'd at least give the best chance?
Well, I mean, you got some folks ready to start the Will Howard train to Cleveland, right?
Unfortunately.
look, I'll take any of them. I'll be honest with you. Like, I mean, look, Ohio State is NFLU. Their players tend to be really good players in the National Football League, outside of quarterbacks. Let's be fair about that. But, you know, anywhere else on the field, if you're a former Ohio State Buckeye, chances are you're pretty good in the National Football League. I'm in favor of Andrew Berry taking 1, 2, 3, using the whole damn draft on Ohio State Buckeyes if he wants to.
Yeah, I mean, they looked pretty good this year. Obviously, a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball going to be available because that entire defense returned and is now NFL draft eligible. You saw Jack Sawyer, you saw JTT, and some of the corners you could leave out probably. I probably wouldn't be so happy with a couple of them, but that's fine. Like, they're going to have their place, but I could see like plenty of them going here. Realistically, though, should the Browns be looking at Will Howard at all?
Later in the draft, sure, why not? I'd have no problem if they wanted to take a flyer or use a mid-round pick on him. But I wouldn't reach for him. I wouldn't take him, at least in the first two rounds. I'm not sure where the experts grade him out as far as his draft prospects go. But, yeah, if you're talking about a mid-round pick, which is really what I would like to see the Browns do with that particular position, you just take a flyer on someone because I don't think any of these kids are worthy of the second pick in the draft. I certainly don't want them reaching for a player or taking a player because they need a quarterback. I want them to go back to making smart, deliberate, informed decisions in which they listen to all the information that is given to them. That's what I want to see Andrew Berry get back to. No more impulsive, gut, whatever. Like, trust the scouting reports. Trust the off-the-field reports. Trust the red flags. Listen to it all, and don't take any chances.
Now, Daryl, you did say earlier, because you joined the Morning Boys, and the headliner there was essentially that you felt like the Browns would go quarterback at number two, though. That's what your gut was telling you.
Oh, yeah, I fully expect them to do something stupid to screw all this up. Absolutely, yeah. 100%, yeah.
So you want them to go, you just don't have any faith then. That's essentially what it comes down. Okay.
No. They brought these guys back. They promoted the tight ends coach to be the offensive coordinator. That's going to fix the offense. Okay, great. These guys couldn't. Well, you know what? Hey, I guess the one thing area of improvement I'm expecting them to be able to line up correctly next season.
That would be a good change,
right? I mean, I'm expecting them to be able to run a basic shift correctly. I'm expecting them to be able to run a screen pass correctly. I'm expecting them to execute a handoff correctly. Like that, I'm expecting the basics. That's just where I'm at. I have no expectation that they're going to do anything worthwhile or great. My expectation is they'll do the basics. That's all I'm looking for next season, in the hopes that they'll be in position to get what I think could be a better quarterback class in 2026. And then you go get one of those guys. Yeah, take a kid this year, sure. Maybe you find lightning in a bottle. Anything is possible. But in the event that you don't, go ahead and trade down. Collect some extra ammunition to be able to use next year so that you can go get the guy. Because, again, the guy isn't in this draft, I don't believe. And I'll admit, I haven't studied it deeply yet. I'll get into it in the next couple of weeks here. But right now, I don't feel like the guy's in the draft. I don't think that there's a Jalen Daniels in this draft. Okay? Everyone's pointing to Washington. You know, people tell me on X today, oh, you know, the Commanders are in the same spotlight. Yeah, well, the Browns aren't making any of the changes that the Commanders made in the last 12 months. So, no, I have zero expectation that the Browns are actually going to turn this thing around. They flushed that organization from top to bottom. That is literally, that is figuratively, anyway, top to bottom, entire organization wiped out and rebuilt. And look where they are now. And they got lucky. They got a good kid now at quarterback. And, you know, is going to be able to have them in contention on that rookie contract for the next couple years, which basically is the model in the NFL outside of the Kansas City Chiefs. It is trying to win with a young quarterback on that rookie contract. And then you build a team so that when you get to the second contract, like Kansas City is with Patrick Mahomes, the Ravens are with Lamar Jackson, right? The Bills are with Josh Allen. Like, those guys can still be competitive with their teams, right? That's where you want to go. That's how you build your sustained success. So the Commanders right now are certainly positioned to do that. We're still waiting here for the Browns to even get within the same area code of potentially doing something like that.
Daryl Reiter, our Browns beat reporter, with us, and he's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. Daryl, is it a bad idea then, from the stance of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry in your eyes, to bank on the quarterback of the future being in 2026? Like, if they go through and just say, hey, we're riding this one out with sort of a bridge quarterback, hoping things go well, and then we'll get the future guy in 2026. Is that bad from their perspective? Should they be looking for somebody in the future now?
Well, and that's what worries me, that they make decisions based on their own employment prospects, right? Because, you know, and here's my thing. Like, if you stuck with them through this, right, after this unmitigated catastrophe that everyone had to suffer through, you might as well stick with them now for at least another two seasons. Because to me, 2025 is about repairing the damage, right? And working towards getting off the Deshaun contract and swallowing the salary cap stuff that comes with that. And so that you can get out of it as quickly as possible in 2026. And then in 2026, and this is, to me, what you sell Myles Garrett this offseason, other than we're just going to back up the Brinks truck and make you the highest paid defender in NFL history, because that will also make Myles very, very happy and on board with whatever they want to do. But, like, you know, we're aiming for 2026. We're going to try and win in 25 by patching the quarterback thing together, and we hope that it's going to be better than what we put on the field this last year with Deshaun, and then obviously with DTR and Jameis Winston. We're going to upgrade that room. Can't promise you it's going to be a significant upgrade, but we will upgrade the room, and then hopefully that gives us a better opportunity to compete Our point differential isn't going to be one worse than the 0-16 Browns. We're not going to have 13 games in which we can't score 20 points. Like that, you know, that's, we're going back to the old offense. Tommy Rees is going to be the guy getting coffee for Kevin Stefanski. That's what we're going back to. Like, that's the sales pitch you gotta make the Miles, in obviously, aside from the big fat check that you're going to put in front of him. But that, I think, is the plan that makes the most sense, because there is no solution at that position this year. So let's not do something impulsive and stupid like was done in 2022, because you felt like Baker put you in a jam that you had now. Since you started to walk down the hall, you had to walk through the door. Like, so that's what I'm looking for this offseason from Andrew Berry in this front office and this organization. Not to do something because they feel that they absolutely have to do something. Yeah, they do. Quarterback, it's been a concern for the last, I don't know, 35 years since Bernie Kosar, right? Going back to the original Browns, now Baltimore Ravens. But, like, you know, this expansion era, you're 40 deep. Someone's going to be number 41, and then someone's going to be 42 and 43 and so on down the line. But they got to patch it this year and then set themselves up for either an opportunity within the league to present itself, or for them to go ahead and go get a guy in the 26th draft. Because, again, my gut tells me that quarterback class going to be a lot better than this one.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Daryl, everybody has already sort of played out the idea that, the Commanders and the Browns could be that. You mentioned it earlier. So I'd like to take you in the other direction then. On the other side, the Lions, do you think that the reclamation quarterback and the aspirations that he could possibly, one of those guys could lead you to a Super Bowl, sort of died this year with the 15-2 Lions led by the original Ram and Jared Goff?
Yeah. I think that when you're talking about those reclamation projects, they're only going to take you so far. And that's what happened to the Lions. That's what happened to the Vikings. They're only going to get you so far. At this point, the Browns want to at least get back to the playoffs, right? And have a shot. And
right.
The old adage goes, you don't have a shot if you're not in the tournament, right? Well, the Browns weren't in the tournament again, so they got to get back to the tournament. And you hope that your Cinderella season, you know, doesn't go up in flames. But like we saw it last year with Joe Flacco, right? I mean, 5 great weeks with him. Record-setting performances by him, but then the playoffs came and he turned back into a pumpkin again, right? And then look what happened this year in Indianapolis, right? It was clear that the Browns really did squeeze the last really good football out of the guy, which was great for the Browns, but, like, you know, it also justified them moving on from Flacco and bringing in and taking a flyer on Jameis Winston, who I guess plays more similarly to the style of football that they're putting in place for Deshaun Watson, rather than, you know, the flip-flopping, shifting gear stuff that they've, you know, had to do, you know, with other quarterbacks, going all the way back to Deshaun's first year here in 22, where they brought in Jacoby Brissett, and you couldn't find a more polar opposite style quarterback to Deshaun than Jacoby Brissett, right? And then Deshaun comes back, and I was like, well, where's this new innovative offense that's good? Well, no, I mean, you've been running this stuff for 11 weeks here. It's hard to just change the entire thing out in the middle of a season here. So, they, you know, just understand that when you're dumpster diving for quarterbacks, you might catch some lightning in a bottle, but it's not going to last very long, if that makes sense.
And I will use that to every single Browns fan who tries to sell me Kirk Cousins. Thank you very much.
Yeah, because look, I mean, Kirk could come in here and maybe win you, I don't know, 6-7 games.
Yeah.
Maybe you get really, really lucky and you win 10 and you get back to the playoffs. I don't know how much staying power you're going to have in the playoffs, though. You're going to be, at that point, you know, counting on whatever matchup you get. And I'm guessing that the Browns would not have a favorable matchup, you know, in the playoffs. They're certainly not going to win a division anytime soon. So and they haven't won a division
yeah.
since 1989. So, you know, I forget which Bush was in the White House when that happened, but I think it was the first one.
I would think so.
Right? I mean, it's just it's been so long. So, yeah, I feel like there's a ceiling there, and that's why they got to find the next young guy out there, and that's why I'm all about them accumulating the ammunition. So when that young guy comes out, they can pounce, and they, you know, go ahead and, you know, give them two 2026 first round picks and give them the 2027 first round or two if you have to. Throw some other picks in there as well, because you're going to get that franchise quarterback that you know is going to walk in your door and he's going to, you know, transform things for you on the football field, like we saw in Washington, like we've seen in Buffalo, like we saw happen in Kansas City, like we've seen happen in Cincinnati, like we've seen happen in Baltimore. Maybe not so much Baltimore because they've already been there, but, by the way, I got to pass this along here real quick. This just came in. The Browns are going to move Tommy Rees to Thursday at 10 a.m.
There we go. Thursday at 10 a.m. You heard it here first. That's the direct from the source right there. Daryl Ryder breaking the news on the air. Tommy Rees talking Thursday at 10 a.m.
Yep. Too cold out there. That's why.
Yeah, understandable.
Everyone, please, by the way, be safe. Bring your pets indoors, all those type of things. Be very, very careful. It is really, really bitter cold outside.
All right, Daryl, real quick, like 30 seconds or less, is the running back in the NFL after watching the playoffs this weekend, and should it make the Browns prioritize that once again?
Well, I just saw a post by Dane Brugler, who is my draft go-to aficionado, and sorry about that, my phone just keeps getting pinged here. everyone thanking the Browns right now for moving that press conference. That's what's going on.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. But he just posted on X that he sees 30-plus running backs in this class with legitimate draftable grades. So the Cleveland Browns, yes, should draft their next running back, find their next Nick Chubb in this upcoming draft.
All right. Absolutely wonderful. Daryl, as always, appreciate you. Stay warm in the meantime, and I guess enjoy Tommy Thursday at 10 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jake Volnick with you guys on the Fan. Just got done talking to our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. Really good stuff out of Daryl there in regards to the Browns, what they do. For all of you Will Howard supporters out there, he didn't rule him out. He didn't rule him out the way that I thought he might. He did not throw him out the door. But we'll have more Browns talk coming up on the other side of the 9 o'clock hour. Coming up at 9:20, I'll address some of what Daryl had to say. But right now, I do have to admit, I can't be doing this on a Championship Tuesday. It was an absolute all-time bad fan move by me. It was an all-time bad podcast partner move by me. Bad co-host, bad fan, because I did indeed fall asleep before watching Ohio State win a national championship. Did happen. Right hand in the air. It was not like me. As you could probably tell by the fact that we do this show from 7 to 11 p.m., I operate at night. That works perfectly fine for me. If you tune in at 10:40, you are not getting a very sad slumber version of Jake Volnick. You are getting the same energy that you probably got right around 7 o'clock. Right? The energy level does not drop off. So usually, you look at that and it's like, oh, game probably wrapped up pretty close to midnight. You think I would have been perfectly fine. Nope. I passed out watching the game, home alone, by myself, just laptop on chest, laying in my bed. And I dozed off, right? We got all the way to the point. It's not like I fell asleep for like two quarters worth of this game, okay? I was up during the final Ohio State drive. I had started to doze off, was probably out for a minute or two. I got woken up during the broadcast when Jeremiah Smith caught the massive down-the-field play that essentially locked in an Ohio State win, right? And then the field goal would come up. You'd have to hit that. I was asleep for the field goal. Woke up to Jeremiah Smith's catch, was awake long enough to see the full replay so I could see the play actually happen, and then be like, that pretty much seals it for Ohio State. And I was like, All right, pretty much seals it for me too. Eyes are closed. I didn't actually say that. It was not my intention, but I made it that long before the eyes closed again. And I was back out. Did indeed miss our Sons of the Shoe podcast recording. Like I said, bad co-host on me. Post-game reaction to a national championship. And didn't happen to be there. Did not happen to make the recording of that podcast. Spencer gave me one good text, one good call. Usually would have heard or felt those as well. Did not. Was tired, passed out. In all my fairness, I've been sick since right around Wednesday, but we were feeling better. We're not blaming it on that. It was just bad move by us. Bad fan. Is it a bad fan move for me to have fallen asleep? Like, am I a bad fan for falling asleep during the national championship game? 216-474-0092. I feel like a bad fan. In fairness, though, like, we're playing the game on a Monday at 8 o'clock. Give me a break. Please, let me live. Like, 8 o'clock, having to go to this game up until, like, not finishing almost at midnight. I feel like if this game would have just been played at 6, I would have been okay. Right? Like, the Super Bowl typically, we're not getting 8 o'clock starts, are we? I'm pretty sure the Super Bowl is, like, closer to 7 or 6. I think the West Coast sort of loses out most of the time on that one, I feel like. But that's because the Super Bowl plays it right. And, Super Bowl Sundays, and not National Championship Monday. So, yeah, I lose out. But am I a bad fan? Am I a bad fan for falling asleep before getting to watch my team celebrate a national championship?
I'll admit that game wasn't really much of, like, that. It didn't have me on the edge of my seat for most of it. Now, when you start to see Notre Dame creep back in and you start to think maybe it's possible, yeah, sure, it was a little bit anticlimactic in that sense. And just like the way that things played out. But no, I mean, you should be made fun of for that. You might take a little bit of something from that, from your boys, but no, it doesn't make you a bad fan. I mean, the one thing you can hold over all of your acquaintances is the fact that you actually host an Ohio State show and you put your due diligence into that show. So
yeah, I did do my work when it has to be done. I just sat there and I was like, man, I woke back up probably at like 12:45. And I was just like, oh, the podcast. First thing I did was check my phone, saw the time. I was like, no. Oh, I probably, either Spencer is disappointed we're going to have to do this thing in the morning, or he's gone through and done it solo. And I shot him a text, and he's like, yeah, no, dude, we pretty much took care of it. You're good. Like, he did not make a big deal out of it. Spencer did not, like, throw me under the bus. He's like, where were you at? No, it was it happens to the best of us. Don't worry. But I feel like, for a national championship, that's the one podcast you probably want to be a part of.
If it's any consolation, I fell asleep for the 02 national championship, except okay. I was 10 years old.
I'll take my wins where I can get them. I'm not 10, so I would like to have stayed up and I at least try to hold a bar higher than 10-year-old Michael Bohm. But
were you nervous at all for that game? Like, did you feel any sort of anticipation or excitement for it? Or you kind of felt like after everything that Ohio State had done, you just felt confident?
I would have considered myself, like, pretty mildly confident. I didn't think Ohio State was going to lose the game. There wasn't much of a fear. I mean, when it's a national championship, there's always the fear. Like, it wasn't like, you don't even consider Notre Dame winning. But it was pretty much, I expect Ohio State to take care of business. And when they started to take care of business pretty early, I was like, yeah, no, this is pretty much what I expected.
Like, there were some points during that Texas game where I felt like there might have been a little bit of, like, severe anxiety for me, you know, not knowing what's going to happen and all that. I don't know that I felt that even as Notre Dame starts to creep back in. Now, when the third quarter kicked off, I started to feel those nerves a little bit just because of the moment, how big the moment was for the Buckeyes. But yeah, there was no point where I felt like this is a game that just had me on the edge of my seat, adrenaline racing, all that good stuff. So don't get me wrong. I'm ecstatic that Ohio State came away with the Natty. I'm just saying, like, maybe that's not the greatest game to make the case that you needed to be awake for that game, because Ohio State gets off to what, a 28-7 lead. Yeah. And then you just feel like it's going to be a blowout from there. Like, I'm sure a lot of casual watchers started to get tired right then and there.
Yeah. I pretty much knew the game was wraps after, they decided that down 16, they were going to try to kick a field goal and took it off the upright. I was like, yeah, no, I think that one just about seals it. And again, they get it within one, they get it within one score and have the opportunity then with a missed field goal from Ohio State of their own, which we know is very possible, that they could have had a 30-second opportunity to come down the field. It just never felt that way to me, though.
The other thing with this game, in my opinion, and I don't want to say it was like a dissatisfaction per se, but just the fact that you didn't feel like you got that dynamic Ohio State offense like you saw in those first two games of the playoffs where, yeah, they were still, I mean, obviously, like, you're scoring on the first four drives that you get the football. Like, that's as much as you could ask for.
Right.
But you didn't really see Howard airing it out like he did in those first couple games. And they were talking about it on the entire broadcast, Jeremiah Smith not being targeted downfield. But finally, you threw that one crescendo at the end. And, of course, that happened to be the play where you fell asleep. That one knocked you out, the knockout blow.
Yeah, it was what woke me up and then also simultaneously put me to sleep.
Yeah. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
Yeah, that was that's exactly how I felt on that play. It was like asleep. I literally woke up to watching Jeremiah Smith being tackled to the ground. I'm like, oh, that's a big play downfield. Watched the replay, and I was like, and that's the only play I need to hear. I literally heard, and that'll about do it for the Buckeyes. And I was like, all right, that'll about do it for Jake Volnick. Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning. No, like, that's pretty much what my body told me. It was like, that'll do it for you, too. Don't worry. They won. You can go to sleep. You can rest easy. They just, my body forgot that I had a podcast to do. So, again, bad fan out of me. I don't know. I'll leave it up to you guys. 216-474-0092 as well on X at Volnick Jake, VULINEC Jake. At the same time as well, I want to ask you guys a little bit more about this game and whether or not it feels like Ryan Day has refreshed himself to Buckeyes fans from 50-odd days ago being the guy that you wanted to run out of town. Can you now say that you look at Ryan Day as the coach of the future for the Buckeyes and you see him being here a long time? It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on 92.3 The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. May have fallen asleep. I by the way, went through back and watched the very short version of what I missed. I saw the field goal go through. I saw the celebration on the field. I listened to the important comments after the game. We got it all wrapped up in a much shorter version this morning. Aside from missing the podcast, and make sure you go check that out. Spencer still did a great job. Sons of the Shoe. Wherever you find your podcast, but aside from missing that, I feel like we're all good. I didn't miss much. I still get to sit here as a Buckeyes fan, feeling pretty good about a Championship Tuesday. But I do wonder how Ohio State fans now, with a national championship sort of under their belt, feel like Ryan Day plays out in the long term in this scenario. Because you go rewind back a little bit less than 2 months, and you would have had Ohio State fans, again, outside the man's house with pitchforks and torches trying to run him out of Columbus after a loss to Michigan. It would have been difficult to find an Ohio State fan that wasn't saying, get this man out. You could fire him today, and I wouldn't be mad. Now, I told you that was never going to happen. Ryan Day was never getting fired directly after that loss. And I told fans, you have to wait. Because if he goes and he wins a national championship, you know, you're not going and firing the guy. I also told you anything barring a national championship probably would result in him being fired. Well, one, my attitude on that changed throughout the playoffs. Because how could it not? After you blow out the number one seeded team and go on a 34-0 run to open the game, yeah, your views on that have to change a little bit. Because the guy clearly showed just the way that he did everything, that he had changed his ways and was able to win the big games. But he also went through and finished the entire deal. Wins the national championship. So he very clearly has gone through the change of get this guy out of here to something different. I'm just looking for, in the eyes of you guys, right? The general fan, where does that get you? Where does Ryan Day and where's your feeling on him now after a national championship? 216-474-0092. I feel like you've almost cemented him now as a coach of the future for the Buckeyes. Right? Like, how much more could you ask of the guy than to bring national championships back to Columbus? Your first one that you actually have gotten your hands on since 2014. You feel great about it. You started the college football playoff era with a title. And now you start the 12-team playoff era with a title. Like, Ryan Day has clearly redeemed himself from what he was before. And it's not like you look around and hold all these Ohio State coaches to such a high standard that one national championship doesn't mean anything. It has to mean something. Look back at the Ohio State coaches and the championships that they have. You've never expected a guy to win multiple. You've never really held him to the standard of winning multiple, at least not in a short time period. Right, this has to at least buy Ryan Day probably an extended period of time. I would think anywhere from probably 3 to 5 years, just unquestioned, that Ryan Day is your head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You can't hold him with very much scrutiny because the guy went through and won the big one. Again, he did what you ask of every single coach in the nation, which is go through and take down every team set in front of you when it matters most. And I just feel like national championships should buy you time. Right? You can go from being angry and taking this guy, and he's had this rocket ship of a flip of firing the guy and getting him out of town, all the way to, hey, Ryan Day very well could be the head coach of the Buckeyes for the next 3 to 5 years and could be staring at an extension with some time still left on his contract simply because he went out and he won the big game. And I think if you're thinking anything short of that, right, if you're going into next year being like, Ryan Day has to prove it to me again, or maybe he gets 1 year by, like, again, too high of a standard. I get the standard is high at Ohio State. I understand that you hold coaches to an above the level where they should be standard. Like, it is high expectations, but even there is too high. You can have national titles as your expectations, but Ryan Day came through and met those. So when he goes through next year, and if he doesn't win it, right, you can be disappointed with the individual season. I'm not going to tell you how to feel. You can feel that Ohio State left something out there, but I am going to tell you, you shouldn't be feeling a way about Ryan Day that you have zero trust for the guy right back there. Or should be walking into Michigan next year thinking if he loses this game, you pretty much got to call him toast. No, you can't exactly do that either. Feels like you have to just give Ryan Day time. After a national championship, he's at least earned that. Has he not? Like, you give the guy a little bit of a break. Give the guy his due diligent time allotted to be able to then go through and maybe have a struggle year next year, because we know this team is going to be very young. With as many returners, many seniors as you had come back next or this season on the defensive end, it's going to be a very young defense, a very inexperienced defense. You're looking, if there's no other changes in the transfer portal made, which I don't expect there to be, you're probably looking at Julian Sain as your quarterback. Another young kid. There's just going to be some progress that has to be made for this team to get back probably to that level. And you shouldn't be overreacting based on one game or based on a couple of games on where Ohio State's at. 216-474-0092. Where does Ryan Day stand with you after a national championship? Let's go out to BP and Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I mean, I've been an Ohio State fan for years, and, it's been like hot and cold, like they've had, now this is their third championship since 2002. But still, there's been, I think if we had this playoff in place, years ago, we would have won more championships because a lot depends on that big Michigan game. And sometimes, Michigan's a formidable an opponent. They're sometimes they knock us out of it, or we've lost games like at Michigan State or some weird, you know, Oregon or something. So I love the new playoff system. I think it's fantastic. And I, you know, I just am, yeah, I was one of the guys, I thought Ryan Day should be on the hot seat. I didn't want him fired after Michigan because I knew what was ahead of us. I knew we were going to be in the playoff. So, and, you know, he completely deserves a ton of credit. And I'm surprised, you know, he might get offers from the NFL. I don't know, you know, what the status on that is, but, you know, I think he completely redeemed himself. I have a ton of respect for him. You know, he's now in the pantheon of these Ohio State coaches that have won the championship. There's only five of them, including Paul Brown. So it's impressive. I was really impressed. And, you know, you were a great interview with Daryl Ryder. I mean, I said this, you know, a month ago, I want to see a lot of these Ohio State guys drafted by the Browns, you know, especially on defense. I think that's what they need is some influx of energy and, you know, some really good players. Luckily, the Browns have a lot of all their draft picks, you know, 2 third-rounders. I would be open to, you know, Will Howard, like in the 3rd or 4th round, you know, like what, you know, Daryl was kind of saying. But one thing, I think Daryl's a little bit negative about the draft, you know, with the top 2 quarterbacks. I think he needs to sort of wait and see, you know, what plays out at the combine. You know, he can't just say, oh, you know, Cam Ward's not going to make it. Shedeur Sanders ain't going to make it. You know, I'm being more open-minded. Let's see how things unfold, you know, in Indianapolis at the combine. Because, you know, no one thought Jaden Daniels was going to be this good. Nobody thought, you know, C.J. Stroud was going to be as good as he is. You know, you just don't know until you, you know, see these guys and, you know, check them out. And, you know, in my opinion, you know, a Cam Ward to me looks like a Steve McNair or a, like a Warren Moon type of guy, or even like a poor man's, you know, Mahomes, where he, I think he's got the potential. So I think there's a possibility for the Browns to improve from the draft. But again, going back to Ohio State, I just thought it was a fantastic win. And, you know, shout out to those guys. And even Jack Sawyer, I mean, he was not supposed to be a first round pick, but I think now he's crept himself into the first round. What do you think of some of those thoughts?
Yeah, no doubt, BP. I think that he has put himself in a good spot to be either like a really early second round or a late first round guy. And a lot of teams are going to be taking a look at him. He's definitely one of the guys that, as a Browns fan, I would not be angry if Jack Sawyer ended up as a Cleveland Brown, right? People are talking about pairing Abdul-Carter. Well, if I can go into the second round with pick 33, do it for Jack Sawyer, feel pretty good there. I'd feel pretty happy about getting that guy and pairing him alongside Myles Garrett. He's actually the one name that I was hoping that Daryl would, if he was going to come out and say and pair it with him, he didn't want to put an individual with it, but like Jack Sawyer might be the guy. That might be the one person on Ohio State that I feel really confident in, if they were a Brown, that they'd make a massive positive impact on this team. Now, I'm not going to tell you to go and draft a bunch of Buckeyes like Terrell did, but there's definitely a bunch of Buckeyes I would consider drafting. I don't think you make half your draft just guys who played in the national championship, because that typically doesn't work out. But I would definitely say that there's a list of those guys that I'd be pretty happy going out and making sure are part of my team here in the near future. All right. 9 o'clock coming up, as it always does, get a grip. We'll react to a lot of what happened around the national championship as well, some things around the NFL and more. Jake Volnick with you guys coming up on halfway through the show on 92.3 The Fan.